Airplane Intel Podcast, episode 81. Do you know how healthy your airplane engine is? This week, we interview Joseph Adams, senior analyst at Blackstone Labs, the leader in airplane engine oil analysis.
We want to know where things are going, not just where they stand. And when you have a sample that has, let's say, a high level of copper, well, it's early yet to know, is this copper level going to get better or is it going to get worse? If it might well be tied to wear in, I would expect it to get better, but we'd still want to see that trend play out.
We'll discuss everything you need to know about engine oil sample analysis and how it can protect you from a sick engine. So stay tuned.
Are you an aircraft owner, pilot, or mechanic? Do you want to learn how to increase safety, reduce risk, and save money with your airplane? Then you are in the right place. This is the Airplane Intel Podcast, the only show that tells you how to make aircraft ownership simple, safe, and cost-effective. Featuring the pre-buy guys and brought to you by CoFlight.com. We bring over 100 years combined experience flying, maintaining, and managing all types of aircraft. If you're ready to make smarter decisions and get more out of your airplane, stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Airplane Intel Podcast. We're an aviation podcast about the ins and outs of airplane ownership. I'm Adam. I'm a certificated flight instructor, airframe and power plant mechanic with inspection authorization, and the co-founder of Airplane Intel. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. It's great to see you. And if you're new to the show, welcome aboard. It's great to have you along. On the show, we compare airplanes, interview aircraft owners and industry experts, and of course, share our real-world experience as professional pilots, mechanics, and inspectors working in the field every day with airplane buyers, owners, and operators. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at CoFlight.com, an innovative mobile and desktop app that makes managing your airplane easy, fun, and dare I say, affordable. You can manage virtually everything about your airplane so you won't miss a thing, from maintenance and AD tracking to sharing real-time data with your AMP to scheduling and payments. As a listener to our podcast, you can get a free 60-day trial of CoFlight by heading over to CoFlight.com and entering the coupon code PREBUY at checkout. That's CoFlight, Charlie, Oscar, Foxtrot, Lima, Yankee, Tango.com and entering the code PREBUY at checkout. Now, I'm very excited for today's topic and interview about oil analysis, but first, a few updates. I'd like to welcome Antonio Sanchez, our newest Patreon supporter. Antonio supports our show at the associate producer level, donating $1 per month. So welcome aboard, Antonio, and thank you for your generous support. And thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for your continued support. This show simply would not be possible without you. Patrons get early access to podcast episodes, uncut interviews, bonus content, and much more. You can support our show by heading over to patreon.com/prebuyguys or by clicking the tile in our show notes. Now, it's been a busy few weeks for us at Airplane Intel headquarters here in Ocala, Florida. Since our last episode, we have traveled to customer airplanes in Oregon, Alabama, South Carolina, and California for various pre-buys. We also did an acceptance and delivery flight to the proud new owner of a Beechcraft V-35A Bonanza from Charleston, South Carolina to Keene, New Hampshire, which was an absolute blast. We helped our client find the airplane as well as handled all the logistics, pre-buy, and closing. When it was all said and done, we took care of a few squawks in the field before flying the airplane back to him in his new home. Now, we can help you with your next airplane too. Simply head over to airplaneintel.com to learn more. Now, finally, before we get into today's topic, there are a few new ADs that may affect an airplane that you own or fly. First is AD 2020-25-01, which affects certain King Air 90 and 100 airplanes. Then there's AD 2020-24-05 that affects certain PA-28 and PA-32 aircraft calling for a wing spar inspection. Then there's AD 2020-18-01, which affects owners of many Cessna 100 and 200 series aircraft calling for an inspection of the forward cabin door post bulkhead. Now I'll post a link to these ADs in our show notes at airplaneintelpodcast.com. Now, in just a few moments, we'll dive deep into engine oil sample analysis, how to do them, what they test for, why they're important, and what they cost, with our interview with Blackstone Labs. Today's interview is brought to you by our friends at Vision Logbooks, the only FAA-approved digital backup and replacement solution for your aircraft's paper maintenance records. Did you know that over 30% of your aircraft's value lives in its logbooks? Your logbooks are completely uninsurable and are the only way to determine airworthiness. Logbooks can be subject to being damaged, stolen, destroyed, held hostage, or for one reason or another, inaccessible. Protect your assets' value and your sanity by going digital and bringing your maintenance records into the 21st century. Learn more at visionlogbooks.com. Now, the inner workings of your airplane's engine cannot be seen or inspected with the engine still attached to the airplane. Whether it's a pre-buy or an annual inspection or some other maintenance, we are simply left in the dark. Now, as mechanics, there's really no way to know the overall health of the engine's critical parts, specifically on the bottom end of the engine, where your crankshaft and all the rods, bearings, and other items are located. Oil analysis is a quick, non-destructive way to gauge the health of an engine by looking at what's in the oil. People use oil analysis for different reasons, to see if there are any problems developing, to see if their oil is working well in the engine, and to see if they can run longer oil changes. In other words, an oil analysis is another tool in the toolbox. Like a flashlight, it allows us to shine a light into the inner workings of your engine to see how everything is holding up. Now, as an AMP IA myself that does a lot of annual inspections and pre-buys, I'm a huge proponent of doing regular oil samples. It is a fast, simple, and an extremely affordable way to help detect unusual engine wear and ensure long-term engine health to TBO and beyond. Now that you have some background, let's jump right into today's interview. Today, we're speaking with Joe Adams, Senior Analyst at Blackstone Laboratories, the leading company in engine oil analysis for aviation and beyond. Hey, Joe, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Adam. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right into it. First, tell us a little bit more about yourself and Blackstone Labs.
So for Blackstone Laboratories, the story begins in 1985 with owner Jim Stark. Oil analysis today is thought of in a rather niche sense. Well, even more so back then. The aircraft industry was one of the earlier adopters, but oil analysis was certainly far from gospel for most folks. But you can see how much that has changed over the years, because take it back to about 87, we would be lucky to be punching out maybe 16 reports a day, and aircraft might be some small fraction. Well, you fast forward to just this past Friday, I think I clocked us at about 468 reports, and I would say aircraft account for at least 100 of them. So you can see the dramatic rise over the years. And as for myself, coming out of Indiana University with a degree in communication and culture, I knew I wanted to write. Writing was the passion, but now is the challenge what to write about. The answer was right under the hood of my 01 Pontiac Sunfire and the engine powering it. So learning about engines was a big step, but fortunately Blackstone has a very intensive training program, and we're not just in the classroom, we're in the garage taking apart, reassembling engines, transmissions. And that's because really anything that needs oil to do its job, that's in our wheelhouse. And aircraft engines, as I stated before, make up no small part of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like Blackstone has really grown significantly over the last 30 or so years. And you guys are very good with your turnaround time, I must say, especially considering how many reports you're doing. Tell us a little bit more about the importance and the benefits of performing regular oil analysis on an airplane engine specifically. I know a lot of our listeners are probably pretty familiar with Blackstone and the at least the concept of doing an oil analysis. But what are the real benefits here of doing them?
So I would say you want to start at the beginning with a baseline. A baseline, aka the first sample, that's really going to direct where we go from there as far as when are you going to sample, how often, because with this baseline sample, we're going to see where things stack up compared to averages. We want to see how that engine is wearing. And when we talk about averages, something I always want to clarify, we keep these specific to the engine type. Okay, so we aren't just going to be comparing to Lycomings at large, Continentals at large. We want to dial that in to the exact full engine designation. And from there, we're going to see how these metals look. Now, if we find a pretty high level, particularly speaking of wear metals, and we find a level that could suggest poor wear, could suggest a problem, then we're probably going to lean towards a more extensive, habitual kind of testing regimen. Maybe we're going to clock it every oil change. Maybe we're going to look, even shortening up your oil changes, see how things stack up. If it's a wear-in situation and you want to see how things progress, taking each oil change is a good idea. If you're hunting down a problem, taking each oil change. But really, you can get more liberal. You can stretch things out and, even vary it where it's every other oil change or maybe once a year, once you have a good trend established and we know what to expect. But I would say, when you see changes, big changes come up either in operation, maybe you had an overhaul, and you want to see how the engine is reacting to that, jumping back into testing is a good idea, especially, you know, if you look at things like when you have a service bulletin come up. You know, I remember a couple of years ago for Lycoming owners, this should ring a bell, SB632B. This applied to engines that could suffer from premature wear at small end bushings. Mm-hmm. And the problem here was high copper arising from these bushings wearing prematurely. So let's say you had an engine and you wanted to see if it was affected by this service bulletin. Well, you might want to check and see where that copper level was at. You know, we had a lot of owners coming in and we would see a high copper level and we might mention, hey, not sure if you're aware, there's a service bulletin just came out. This might apply to your high copper level. Or if we saw what looked like a lot of metal from wear in, we might say, hey, you didn't mention it, but any chance that you just had the engine inspected due to the service bulletin? You know, so when it comes to testing, we want to take it case by case. You know, we are a business, but you'll never hear us say every oil change, absolutely, because truthfully, once you have a good trend established, you can stretch things out.
Hmm. Very interesting. And I like that you guys go into more depth instead of, like you say, taking industry averages, you're taking averages for the specific engine make and model. And I find that to be very interesting because all these engines have different idiosyncrasies in terms of wear patterns for a normal engine and then abnormal wear patterns for engines that are, well, having abnormal wear or perhaps had a recent overhaul or, like you say, affected by a service bulletin, so that you guys can go into that much depth. So you guys must have an enormous database of engines to be able to compare these things to. I mean, do you guys cover most of the major engine make and models, or I mean, do you guys specialize in certain ones?
Well, I would say the lion's share of what we look at is definitely Lycoming and Continental. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get things more experimental. You can get pretty beyond the big names, but really once you get past Lycoming, Continental, Rotax, you can parse it down from there. But I would say for sure the strongest averages we have are for those big names I mentioned before. But no matter what, even if, you know, say you have an engine type that maybe we haven't seen before, what we do is we still want to compare it to something similar. So we will do our research if it's the first sample from an engine and we might not be too familiar with it. We're at least going to say, all right, well, it does resemble Lycoming's 0235. So we're going to dial in a comparison, at least until we build trends. And the other thing I would say too, is we never just rely solely on averages. And that's what I like the most about kind of the freedom we have as analysts, is we never are tied to, I guess, a predetermined rule when it comes to averages, because that just wouldn't be fair. So for example, if you have an engine that consistently wears better than average, you know, we're always finding metals are low every time. But then as you sample, say, a few times throughout a year, and then we see this slow incremental rise in wear. Sure, it might not look bad compared to averages, but we can always bring that to light. And as an analyst say, hey, yes, numbers, technically, we would leave these alone. We wouldn't mark them in bold, but we still see a trend here that suggests maybe temps are running a little hot. Maybe you have, you know, we just want to know, is there a change in operation that might apply? So averages are definitely the starting point, but we like to go beyond that because not all of them are going to wear like average, and nor should they. That's really a starting point, and we want to, as analysts, go further than that because that's really how to best serve each individual engine owner.
Absolutely. And a lot of the wear might occur from pilot technique or from a, you know, like you said, temperatures running high, perhaps there's a bad baffle seal somewhere. You know, so there's many reasons why the engine wouldn't necessarily follow the average, quote unquote, average engine for wear and what have you. So I think that's interesting that you guys not only compare it to that, but also are able to take that data to give a accurate analysis to that specific engine. I know we just sent in an oil sample recently for one of our clients who did an engine overhaul on his Cessna 182 with the 0470, and you guys were spot on with everything, mentioning how some of the metals that were in there, how that coincides with the overhaul and how we should be just simply monitoring that as we go to check for improvements there. Now, something that many people might be wondering is, what is the best time to collect an oil sample for analysis? Now, you mentioned, you know, you don't have to necessarily do it every oil change. It all depends on the situation. But I mean, at minimum, what is the best time to collect an oil sample analysis? Is it during that normal oil change? Is it other than a normal oil change? What do you think?
So I like to adhere to whatever your current norm is. You know, if you tend to sample 30-hour oil runs and you've been doing that with your ownership consistently, then grab a sample then. Grab a sample that matches up with what your typical maintenance plan is. The only time I would say, and I don't want to describe this as negative or bad, but if you sample after a very short oil run, and when I talk about short, you know, anything less than 10 hours for most engines, the thing you want to keep in mind is metal that is present in a low time sample, carryover from the previous fill plays a larger role than it would otherwise. Mm. So metals can appear a bit high on a per hour basis if you've sampled after a short oil run, because there wasn't much time during the short oil run for the engine to make new wear.
Right.
So you have this carryover that makes it seem like, well, the engine might be wearing a bit more on a per hour basis than it should, but that's not really giving it a fair shake. You have, you know, and this surprises a lot of people, but about 20% of one fill will carry over to the next, because when you're draining the oil, you would have to be running the engine to get all of it out. I mean, it's going to settle in places. So carryover is something to keep in mind in those low time samples. Again, it's not a bad thing to sample a short oil run. It's just important to know that to give the engine a fair shake, you need to give a little bit more time for metals to accumulate before jumping to a conclusion. But certainly sampling a short oil run, never a bad idea, especially if you're in a situation where like the engine's been sitting and you want to make sure you do your best to negate corrosion. So it's fine to do. It's just something to keep in mind. But in general, I like to start off with an oil run that's close to, let's say, manufacturer specs, whatever your AMP has been recommending, and go from there.
Very interesting. And I think you guys would customize the analysis report, because when you're completing the form for the oil analysis, you're indicating not only the make and model of the engine, but also the hours on the engine, total hours, and also hours on the oil. So that would help you guys on your end determine kind of what's been going on there, whether it's at low kind of hour sample, or maybe you can have some notes there that the airplane's been sitting. So I find that to be pretty interesting and also very valuable information on our end as mechanics, as we kind of interpret the data and go from there with making recommendations to the owners. Now, you kind of alluded to it already. Why do owners need multiple oil analysis samples to get trend data on their engine? You know, especially as the engine perhaps came from overhaul, it's got a few hundred hours on it, and then over the course of, you know, 5 or so years, let's say, they're putting 1,000 hours on it. And, you know, now we can really collect some good trend data on that engine, determine maybe perhaps when we need to start doing the next overhaul, or, you know, some other planning that we might need to do. So reiterate for us, why is it important to get multiple samples to get that trend data?
We want to know where things are going, not just where they stand. And when you have a sample that has, let's say, a high level of copper, well, it's early yet to know, is this copper level going to get better or is it going to get worse? If it might well be tied to wear in, I would expect it to get better, but we'd still want to see that trend play out. And on the flip side, when you have a problem in the early stages, you want to be cautious about trying to extrapolate too many conclusions from one sample, because truthfully, there are episodes where an engine might not wear well, but it's not due to a problem. Maybe it's due to some operator error that they need to correct, and that coincided with high wear for just one sample. But the next sample and the one after that is going to tell a complete narrative. So one sample with one result can be a fluke. It can be an exception to the norm. Two samples, you can start to see a pattern. Once you accumulate three, that's when you see some firm trends play out and you can get some more definitive conclusions. So it's not simply a matter of sample, sample, sample. We're truly building a narrative and looking at where things are going. So above all else, the importance lies in figuring out what the consistency is for the engine and if there is a lack thereof. You know, if you see reoccurring spikes, trends should look like a bit like rolling hills, not peaks and valleys. And so when you build a trend, you get to find out exactly how things are going and not just make too many conclusions off one poor result.
Makes absolute perfect sense. And you guys keep track on your end, the engine serial number and the aircraft tail number and serial number as well, correct? So that's how you guys are able to accomplish the trend monitoring.
Yeah, and it's something we do in particular with aircraft. You know, when it comes to automotive application, it gets a little trickier because unless a person provides their VIN number, I can't say for sure that we've seen that car before unless they can establish that connection with another customer. But aircraft, since N numbers are known, and since, you know, it's hard not to know your N number, it makes it easy to keep track, and serial number as well. And A, we want to make sure that we're giving you all the data possible. We never want to withhold history on the engine if we can access it. A, it completes the file for the customer, but B, it gives us all the information we possibly can get our hands on. So you can rest assured that when you send in a sample, if you provide the tail number, the serial number, we will be sure to try and find the existing history even without you asking. And we will attach it so that way you can see what the engine's been doing in the past. And if the history is really old, you know, maybe it's like a decade since we've seen the aircraft, we will also take that into account. And, you know, you can ask us to remove it or keep it, but we want that data on the page. So yeah, I just like to let folks know they never have to ask for it. We will track that history down however we can.
Yeah, and I got to say, you guys are really great with doing that. And like I said, even without asking for it, you guys always, when it's available to you, include the trend and history data into the subsequent report. So I think that's really great. Now, for someone that's never done an oil sample before that they're going to send in for analysis, please tell our listeners, how much does it cost and what is the procedure for collecting the sample and sending it in to you guys? I mean, it's super easy, but a lot of people might not even know how easy it is and that the owner can do it themselves. So can you just kind of explain the procedure and as well as how much it costs?
So the sample cost right up front, that is $30 for a standard analysis. And though the name has standard in it, it's by no means some sort of limited analysis by any stretch. It includes everything you need to learn how the engine is wearing, contamination, how the oil is holding up. Now, if you want to start sampling, first of all, it's always easy to just give us a call. If you ever want to set up a customer account, we can do that over the phone quite easily, but you can also go online. So you can go to blackstone-labs.com. Right on the homepage, you can order a free sample kit. So either call or go to the website. The kit itself is free. And better yet, it actually has prepaid postage attached to the container. So that way you take the sample, you throw it in the bottle, you put the bottle in the black mailer, and then it's good to go. Now you can expedite shipping if you're in some sort of pre-buy situation or selling it or whatever. You can bypass our free shipping and go through UPS or FedEx or whoever. But as for actually retrieving the sample, once you have the kit handy, you can do it yourself. You can have your mechanic do it. I think if there's any room for doubt as far as could this sample have been mixed up, sometimes you run into that with like FBOs and there might be so many aircraft going through there and you worry that your sample might be mixed up. In that case, take it yourself. And the thing is, it's easy to take it yourself. All you need to do is retrieve it from the drain. That's just a really easy process. I wouldn't obsess too much over the point of the drain. You know, avoiding the very beginning can be useful just as far as avoiding like dirt and debris from the drain plug. But honestly, even then, we can be prepared to understand if there's a possibility that we found some excess dirt from that. Regardless, you're still going to retrieve a valid sample. So don't worry too much about the point you start sampling. Just take it during the drain. Worst comes to worst, some people will try and sample from a filter. The trouble there is you might not retrieve enough oil for a sample, but really, sample location, just grab it from the drain when you can and we'll be good to go.
Really is so much easier than people might realize, and you guys make it easy on us as well by providing everything you could need in that situation to collect the sample. And the best part is that the kit is free, and I really appreciate that. I know the folks that do it regularly also probably appreciate it, as well as the free postage, which helps a lot. And the $30 for the actual processing of the sample for the analysis is also a very good value. I really, really believe that. It's a easy cost to justify. So you mentioned a standard analysis. Can you just tell us, what tests does Blackstone perform specifically on the oil for a standard analysis?
So we want to begin with the spectral exam, and that's where you're going to find out wear metals. It's where you're going to find out if excess dirt is an issue. Dirt, of course, would show up as a high silicon level. Silicon is an interesting element because it can also come from sealers, lubes, if you use anything like that, like DC4. It's something that we want to keep in mind as well. We're going to look at wear metals. We're going to look for evidence of dirt. We're going to see where the blow-by level is at. Blow-by is primarily going to show up as lead. But also, I want to talk a little bit about phosphorus because it is an element that can matter for some folks, especially owners of the Lycoming. And we're going to just narrow it down. 0320 H2ADs. So for folks that don't know, those engines are required by Lycoming to have a special additive, and namely, that's the LW16702. So it's relevant because for those engines, they need the additive, which provides an appropriate phosphorus level that they're supposed to have in those engines. So let's say, you know, if you're purchasing one of these engines and you want to know if the right oil is in use, or let's say you might have had an oil change done by a shop, FBO you're not familiar with, A&P you're not familiar with, and you want to know if the correct oil is there. You want to know if the phosphorus level is right. Standard analysis with a spectral exam will tell you right there. They'll show you where the phosphorus level is at, wear metals, and so on. So that's just a spectral exam. Quite a bit's involved there. But we also go to the viscosity. So we're going to see if that viscosity is in the range you need, whether that's W100, if you're running an 80 weight, whatever it is, we're going to let you know if the viscosity is where it should be. And then going from there, we're going to measure the flash point to see if fuel dilution is a factor. We're going to look for water as well. Lastly, the insolubles. So insolubles are oxidized solids from heat, use, and blow-by. They normally are going to be present. It's just the oil filter's job to keep insolubles at a reasonable level. So if we find a high insolubles level, that can mean that the oil filter was just used up. It can also, you know, be an indicator of excess heat. We're going to pay close attention to that to gauge oil filtration and make sure solids are not accumulating too quickly. You're always going to have some just from the oil doing its job, but we want to see a level that is reasonable. All of that's wrapped up in the standard analysis.
So what I'm hearing is you guys really cover all the bases on this analysis, and you're able to gather an enormous amount of data, as well as get an idea of not only what is wearing, but also where all the materials are coming from within the engine. And you're making sure that if, for example, the oil that they're running isn't the right viscosity or the right grade, you can give advice there. You can also give advice if there's abnormal metals found, say, like you were mentioning before, copper, or say maybe steel or something that you're seeing in there, and you guys can let folks know what's going on there. So that's a pretty detailed analysis.
Yeah, what we want to do is not just tell you if the engine's wearing well. If it's not wearing well, we want to hope to give you some insight as to why. You know, and we want to break down possible contaminants, see how the oil's holding up, and we take the entire, you know, report. We don't want to break down any one section and say this is all that matters, only highlighted metals, or only, you know, it's really taking the whole report together, all the information, to make a conclusion about how that engine's doing.
Makes a lot of sense, and it sounds like you guys take all the variables to make your analysis, and it's similar to what we do when we're doing a pre-buy for someone. It's not just one thing or two things that is going to make the buyer of an airplane walk away from it. It's multiple things, and they all kind of interrelate together to tell a story of that airplane. So just like with this, with all the spectral and soluble viscosity flashpoint tests, all those stories come together to figure out what's going on with this engine. I think that's really, really interesting. Now, how are the results of an oil analysis useful to an owner or maintenance shop? From a high level, how is that useful to them?
Well, it's going to direct them as far as steps to take. If you have a situation where, let's say you have an airplane come through and the first sample from it, you know, you don't know how long it's been sitting, but say it might have been sitting, and we find signs of corrosion. You know, corrosion's going to generally show up as aluminum and iron. Can vary, though, depending on if you have aftermarket cylinders in use. So let's just take that example. You have an aircraft you're not terribly familiar with, but you start, you know, maintenance on it, and we find signs of corrosion. Well, what we would do from there is help dial in an oil change interval to monitor it and see, as samples come in, if patterns are showing what we would expect from, say, corrosion washing out, or if we find levels that suggest there might well be instead a cylinder area issue. And we can start seeing how cylinder area metals, aluminum, chrome, iron, how they look, how blow-by looks. And when we find signs that point in one direction, then we might suggest another step, like a compression test. Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side, let's say we're talking one of the bigger Continental engines and we're seeing what could be an exhaust valve guide issue. Maybe we're seeing the combination of metals there, and then we'll proceed to, you know, suggest an inspection of the valves. So what we start off with, the baseline, like I mentioned earlier, and as we see how those metals are grouped together, how are they balanced against each other? From there, we'll start to make some assumptions about how this could be a problem or could not be, and then, you know, parse it down from there with compression test, further inspection, and we'll just try to narrow it down for you. And then when we see the appropriate measures to take, we'll be sure to suggest them. I think that's one thing I always want to let people know as well. We pull no punches when it comes to results. And if we find something, we'll be upfront about it. And on the flip side, if we don't have enough evidence yet to make a hard call, we won't. So I think sometimes people might say, well, how's it really doing? You know, like, I read your comment, but just be totally honest. And we will be in the comments. So that's one thing I always like to remind folks of, is that there's no reason for us not to. We're going to tell you the news no matter how good or bad it might be.
Interesting. And with all the data that you're able to gather and then to make the comment and your overall remarks and analysis for that, people might be thinking that it's a complex report. Can you just kind of briefly describe to folks, I mean, these reports are super easy to understand and to interpret the data. Can you just kind of explain to folks how to read the results from the oil analysis report?
So it all starts with the comment. We have a comment with every report. And I want to start with the comment because in that space, you know, myself or whichever analyst is looking at your sample is going to bring to your attention whatever we think the focal points are. So I would start there. But for those who might be a little bit more experienced, if they've seen a few of these reports or, you know, they have been sampling for a long time, you know, they might want to bypass it and go straight to the results and see if we put anything in bold. You know, we might mark elements in the spectral exam if they're high or if the trend points to a problem. So maybe you could be more akin to just seeing what's highlighted, whether it be something in the physical properties. If we found fuel or water, a high in solubles level, you might want to jump to that. Because truthfully, for some people, they will rest on the highlights as where they want to begin with the report. They'll want to see if we marked anything in bold. That might be their starting point. And on another note, you might be a person who you've been experienced enough with these to spot trends on your own. And I think what tends to happen most often is folks will contact us and mention an increase that we didn't bring up. And usually that relates to additives. You know, maybe they switched oil types. They were running, you know, just regular W100. Then they switched to W100 plus and that oil uses phosphorus. And maybe we didn't bring up that increase and they'll say, hey, you must have missed that phosphorus went up by 900 parts per million. And we might not mention that if we have bigger fish to fry in the comment. But I would say if you're starting off with oil analysis, if you're brand new to this, rest on the comment as your guide. And as you get more experienced, you know, you might play your own game of being an armchair analyst yourself and just looking at trends and seeing how elements compare. You know, when you look at a report, we start with the most recent sample, the one you sent in most recently on the far left. Then next to that, we have the unit location averages, which are based on just your samples. And then to the right of the unit location column, we have your historical data with your sample dates to show where those samples were taken. So across that page, if you spot a trend and want to talk over it with us, you know, we do that all the time. People are welcome to call and speak to the analyst and say, hey, well, I was looking at this myself and saw a trend I wanted to talk to you about. That's always welcome discussion. So for people who are brand new, you start with the comment. Going off of that, you know, I also know a lot of people who just want to see what's high or low, and then folks will get even more details. There's no right or wrong way, but early on, you know, when you're getting your footing, I definitely rest on the comment.
Absolutely, and I agree with you totally that the more reports that you read, the better you get at understanding them and interpreting them. But when all else fails, you can rely on that comment. You can always give Blackstone a call to get a little bit more explanation on that. And also, you guys have on your website a sample reports explanation page on your website that I'll link into the show notes. So that's also very helpful to folks that might be new to this or have never seen the report before. Also, can you just tell us how long does it take to get the results from the oil analysis? You guys do an enormous amount of these every single day, but what's the turnaround time on average for these?
So last time I checked, I think we're looking at 5 to 7 business days. So we are at no loss for samples right now. So it has extended a little bit from, you know, when I first came on board. But yeah, we're still working about 5 to 7 days. And as with every case, if you're sending in a sample and time is really of the essence, always feel free to mark on the slip, hey, this is, I'm thinking about repairs or I'm worried about a problem or it's a pre-buy. Feel free to note that on the slip. A lot of it's about timing. You know, if we get these samples early in the day, we can try and push them to the front of the line as best we can. So if it's urgent, definitely let us know and we'll do everything to help that turnaround time and hopefully get it even less than 5 days.
Yeah, that's great to know, especially for those, like you said, who are in a pre-buy situation or some sort of imminent maintenance event situation. So that's really helpful to know how to do that. Where can we find all these resources? What's the best way to learn more about Blackstone and to get in touch with you guys?
So blackstone-labs.com is going to be your home for everything from ordering a kit to learning more about the reports, like the report explanation. We also offer a lot of detailed articles, whether it be specific to aircraft, automotive, industrial, everything we do. So a lot of people will start sampling aircraft and might not even know that we do other kinds of analysis, and vice versa. So we've definitely had, I know a few customers personally who started off with aircraft and then they found out about everything else we do. And now we handle, you know, sampling for everything from their engines to transmissions, differentials, all of it. So if you have questions about analysis that go beyond aircraft or aircraft itself, all of that's going to be contained on the website. We also have a podcast that covers all of our different testing, you know, quirks, everything we look at, details about, you know, the folks in the building. It gives you a look behind the curtain about what makes Blackstone unique, and that's called Slick Talk. So you can find that on every major podcast platform. We also encourage people who find us to send along, you know, any suggestions, questions that they need answered, send them along and we'll address it on our show. We'll also address them with our newsletter. Again, that's on the website also. We also have an app available as well for people who are looking to access their reports, order test kits, and that's under our name, Blackstone Laboratories. So you can find the app, find the podcast and the website. So we're really growing as much as we can just to be as accessible as possible across social media and beyond.
That is really amazing. And I'm happy to hear that you guys are taking advantage of all of the platforms out there to reach as many people as you can, because this is such an important thing that people need to do. And like you said, not just in your airplane, but any of your other motorized vehicles. I mean, that's just really, really great. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us or any more advice you have for anybody?
Yeah, so oil analysis can be a bear for a lot of people to kind of approach. I think people can be really intimidated by the process. They might be intimidated by thinking they have to decipher a lot of the results themselves. They might be, you know, intimidated by just being so foreign to it, you know, and it is something that if you are someone who it's your first time looking at a report, you can kind of worry that, you know, you're just not going to get it. But what we try to do and what really sets Blackstone apart is our personalized approach to reports. You know, every time you have a report for your engine, the comment's going to be crafted by an analyst who took the time to pull up historical data, to look and see how the engine's doing, to give an honest assessment of what's good, what's bad. And we make our analysis accessible right down to you being able to call or email the exact analyst who produced the report. So while it can be a tremendous amount of information to take in, especially the first couple reports, you're trying to decipher all the elements, all the physical properties, we strive to make it easy and we want to be approachable. So I think that's what really sets us apart from other labs. You know, we see a lot of reports from in and around the industry where it's merely just a lineup of numbers and maybe you'll see a comment like, this metal is high, check back. And that's it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. You know, we want to make it as easy to understand and kind of talk about sources, talk about potential outcomes, and hopefully all the time, you know, deliver the good news. You know, we really love seeing engines that wear well over time. We really like being able to congratulate owners on their maintenance. So by no means is oil analysis a method merely to induce like caution or some sort of foreboding sense every time you check back on oil change. We aren't looking to make you check back. We want to encourage good maintenance and reward it when it shows up. And when we find problems, we'll note them. But by no means are we looking to find the worst or exaggerate or anything like that. It's an industry that is meant to help that engine stay flying as long as it can. We are merely just trying to help you out in your maintenance process and be approachable while doing it.
That's really great. And I agree that it's part of the maintenance process and really part of being an informed owner or operator of an airplane. That's awesome. Well, I'll have all the links that we mentioned in this episode in the show notes at airplaneintelpodcast.com. And Joe, I really learned a lot from you today, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. And listen, getting regular oil analysis done on your airplane is definitely a must. So head over to blackstone-labs.com to find out more. And Joe, thanks again for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
And it was really great speaking with Joe, learning more about Blackstone and how oil analysis works. I know I learned a lot, and I hope you guys did too. And thank you for spending your time with us today. We really appreciate it. To ask your questions, join the conversation, or share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email to feedback@airplaneintelpodcast.com. And don't forget to check out our show notes page for all the links we shared in this episode and a whole lot more at airplaneintelpodcast.com. Now, that's all the time we have today, but be sure to check out our next episode where we'll be interviewing a very interesting owner, a guy that owns a Boeing Stearman Cessna 140 and a Mitsubishi MU-2. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Thanks again for being here, and until next time, keep the dirty side down and stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the Airplane Intel Podcast. If you liked what you just heard, we hope that you'll subscribe to our show and leave us a rating or review. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching Airplane Intel. To access show notes, episode archives, and other free resources, visit us at airplaneintelpodcast.com. To get a 60-day free trial of CoFlight, head over to coflight.com and use the coupon code PREBUY. Also, if you'd like to support our show, visit us on patreon.com/prebuyguys. And remember, owning an airplane doesn't have to be hazardous to your wealth.